Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work, so I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Likewise, here to keep it clean so my parents won't get mad at me. Today, did you hear that story about Michael Thomas, by the way, where you hooked up?
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that actually earlier. I may have seen the exact tweet from Adam Schefter that Joe quoted there.
The Saints are surprised was the word, but you know, you meant impressed, right? The Saints are surprised at Michael Thomas's progress. When was the last time somebody said that about us or you or me separately? Like, when was the last time in your life you heard that somebody, anybody, was impressed with your progress?
2011.
Was it about running?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was running, and a friend of a friend told me that that someone had intimated to them that they were worried that I was running too much and had gotten too thin. I mean, can you imagine such a thing? Like, I can't even tell you. I don't have a lot of money at my disposal, but I would pay a few thousand dollars to have the problem of being too thin and running too much right now. I mean, I got to tell you, I would pay a price. I would pay a fee. I might even take out a second mortgage on the house.
That's what I'm saying about, like, Michael Thomas has it better than he thinks.
Schefter, by the way, did use the word surprised.
Okay.
Pleased and surprised at Thomas's progress.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I just, they were impressed with his progress. They were sort of surprised that he's doing as well. And I get that. I mean, I'm forcing it here. But I get that at the dentist sometimes. There's a little bit of surprise in her voice when she says, you know what?
Well, if you're surprised with progress, that's not a compliment.
You've been really brushing.
It is.
I think they say that to everyone at the dentist.
Maybe.
I mean, unless you go in there with, like, worms crawling out of your mouth. I think, oh, you have beautiful teeth. I don't know. Maybe I just have beautiful teeth, but I feel like I got that every time I went to the dentist.
What you guys are saying here is you've got to step backward to be able to get that. You got to have the high ankle sprain.
Right.
Like, they were never surprised or impressed with Michael Thomas's whatever until he got hurt. Then, like, oh, look at this guy. He's looking pretty good, actually. I had to have whatever I had with my teeth to earn the, you know what? Actually, Mike, not bad.
Yep.
And that's how the voice is. That's how it sounds, too. Like, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised here. I'm a little bit impressed right now. Well, good for him. I don't think he knows that that's as good as it is to hear from anyone in your life.
Yeah, right. Right.
I'm a little impressed. So, guess who has a too many Browns problem today? Me. It had to happen, right, Joe?
Had to happen. And it did.
As many times, it did. For as many times as we started to refer to you having too many Browns, And then Bulldogs lying about how the Browns have too many Browns. Well, today I have too many Browns in my opponent's lineup because Joe built a 70-5 lead with Chubb, Hunt, and Beckham. They tell you never to do that, you know.
Right. Especially two running backs. Holy
they
cow.
They tell you never to play two running backs on the same team. The one time, so in daily you can do it. Maybe that's like a trick to win a big, you know, a big contest in daily fantasy, like in FanDuel or DraftKings or something. The one time we talked to the, remember when we talked to the guy, a local guy won a big jackpot?
Yes.
Like he won $1 million maybe a few years ago. And he was on the show. We were at 716 and he was on. And I only found out, I think, I'm just remembering it now, that he was local because John Lee, who was on our show a few times, did some work for football guys. And he was like in, he was near the top of that contest, I think. Or no, it wasn't John. It was a friend of his. Anyway, so we ended up talking to the guy, we think, that won the $1 million, and he had two, maybe Dallas running backs in the same game. It was a game like their game coming up Sunday where everybody likes everybody. Dallas and Atlanta this week. And it might have even been Atlanta that day. Freeman, Coleman, I think it was. Freeman, Coleman, Elliott, you know, some other Dallas guy back then. And right. I think it was the same matchup. Anyway, so maybe that's a good idea in daily. I don't know. I don't know that strategy very well. But in the League of Shopes and Dreams, you just don't want to have to do it. And here is Joe rolling out both of them and Beckham. Beckham's lucky he got that call, by the way. Yes?
So, you're in fantasy, I mean, you've got 7,000 teams. So, I mean, there's a lot of matchups. But this week, you are playing Joe in a league that the two of you are in together and me in the league that you and I are in together?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow, how about that? Mm-hmm. That's, right. That's just kind of funky.
I call that right. Old home week.
Nice. That's what it is. Tent? Can I come to the beer tent?
Yep.
Do I have to buy tickets to get beer, or can I just pay cash for beer? Do I got to wait in line twice?
Tickets are preferred.
But it's not convenient.
Just drop them on the ground, and I'll pick them up later, because I don't want to have to bump into your hand. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm playing Joe in Shopes and Dreams. I'm playing you in GR, and I'm playing Louie. There's a guy who's at 70 teams. I'm playing Louis in Louis' league. So it really is old home week. There should be a tent. You're right. All right, so I got a question. We have to talk something out here.
Okay.
The Bills will not have Matt Milano or Tremaine Edmonds for this game, as we know, right? That was announced today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As I don't think would surprise you, no movement on the betting line. Not an inch. 5.5, 40.5. And I just want to like have this conversation again, because you and I will refer to this, but hardly ever like talk about it. What are we actually talking about here? Like, is there no limit to that? If Trey White came up lame at practice today, would the betting line also not budge? Like, what would do it? What would move the line? Allen?
I would think, well, I mean, it probably does rely on how the positions are viewed and their impact are viewed. And I think, you know, quarterback is the most impactful. So, you know, depending on what the betting line or the people setting those lines think of the quarterback, you know, they think there's a big drop off from Josh Allen to Matt Barkley, then that should affect the line at least somewhat, and then go from there. What's the next most impactful position? Cornerback might be your answer. Mm-hmm. So maybe if Tre'Davious White were to come up lame, or one of the Miami guys at corner, maybe that would affect the line in some way, depending on which team, of course. You know, if the Bills lost Trey White, then maybe the line would move towards Miami, and vice versa if it were the Miami corners. From there, maybe defensive end, but there probably isn't, like, it's not, and this would be true of corner, too. Like, it's not like any team's number one corner would affect it. You might have to be at a certain level, and I think White is now at that such a level. You get to defensive end, maybe Myles Garrett is suddenly not playing, and that might affect the point spread subtly. But, you know, does it happen if it's, I don't know, Mario Addison or Jerry Hughes?
No.
Maybe not. Right?
No.
So you got to be a certain level of, you know, player to affect the line and be in a position. And linebacker, like, I think they'll miss those guys, but I don't think in any way it should cost them the game. I think they still have a better team than Miami across the board and should be okay. But it's, you know, you'd rather have them than not have them, but I'm not surprised that it didn't move the line, I guess. We've talked about this for years, you know, like Aaron Schatz was maybe my woke moment on this, talking about Kiko Alonso. Like, what does his injury cost the Bills? Half a win.
For the year.
Okay. Right, for the year, right. So, you know, for one game, you know, I'm not surprised now. I don't know, maybe people would be still, but
If that was right, half a win, that's 1/32nd of a win. Sunday.
Right.
1/16th of one half. I don't know. Like, you're saying all of it here, but there still is the question. You think they'll miss those guys, right? What Bills fan would tell you different? Oh, that's bad. I mean, most of us, like 99% or 100, have no idea what the backups look like. Right? We have no idea what the backups look like. And all the time in football, backups are forced to play and they're good. Even a quarterback. So who knows? We don't know that. But we know that the guys who are not playing are good players. And we think of them as important. What does it really mean, though? You think they should still win, but they should be missed. There's not a lot of room there. I mean, what the line reflects is 5.5, yeah. Stays 5.5. It doesn't even go to 5. Like, yeah. It's just 5.5. So, to the people who bet on these games, and, you know, maybe I need to say this once, to me, that is easily the most reliable indicator of what you should think about a game that there is. I mean, I'm not saying that it's at all. I'm not saying that it's always right, because, of course, it isn't. But it's the best thing going. It's way better than listening to, like, Chris Berman do picks or something like that. I mean, this is, like, millions of people betting real money, and this is where it lands, is 5.5. So what do you do about it? What do you say about it? If you take the two good starting linebackers out of the lineup for the Bills and replace them with, you know, due respect, anybody, The bettors do not care. They don't even have to know. Don't even bother them. Don't even tell the sports books. Don't tell anybody that bets on games that happened, because they do not care. Like you said, maybe there are a couple of exceptions in the league. At any defensive position, Richard Sherman is out this week for San Francisco. The bettors did not care about that. 7. Like, that didn't do anything. So there might be a couple of defensive players in the league, but there may not be any that would mean anything to the betting line. What am I supposed to do about that? Is this a different question? All right. What am I supposed to do about that when it comes time to pay these guys? Like, in the world of sports, where analytics just is growing and growing in the inroads, the impact that it's showing, that it's making in decisions that teams make, not just on, you know, quant websites, but, like, this is how sports has been moving for a long time, and it continues to move that way. Are we going to get to, you know, how running backs... how that is now, Are we going to get to, yeah, whatever, defense, whatever. Is that next?
I don't think at corner it will ever get there, because the league is just going more towards passing all the time, and teams offensively, I think, are mitigating pass rush by getting the ball out of there faster and faster all the time. The light on this started to go on for me when Rex was the Bills coach, and in back-to-back home games that first season, the Patriots and the Giants came in here, and both Brady and Eli Manning got the ball out of their hands in like 2 seconds on average all afternoon long. and like I've got Mario Williams and I've got Jerry Hughes and I've got Marcel Darius and I am just going to pass rush the living hell out of you. And guess what? It doesn't matter.
Right.
Those guys can beat their linemen clean and it doesn't matter. So maybe we'll get to a point where defensive end starts to get downgraded a little bit, or just pass rush in general, because the way to defend is to have guys who can cover more than it is to have pass rush. And so maybe that's just starting to happen. So maybe, and I think linebacker, I think you're already there at linebacker. Mm-hmm. I think linebacker is generally treated in the league maybe the way running back is. We just haven't, it's not as glamorous. There haven't been holdouts because guys might just be like swallowing hard and accepting whatever they can get on second contracts to keep playing linebacker. I mean, think about it. Like Mosley got that huge deal with the Jets, and that was, I think, I don't know about scoffed at, but it felt like the conversation about paying a running back when they signed him. I was like, what are you doing? Like, that's crazy money for that guy. So there's always exceptions. I mean, Seattle just did what they did with Jamal Adams. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. They haven't paid him yet, have they? Have they done a contract with him? I don't think they have.
I don't know.
But it's expected to be massive when they do. Forgive me for not knowing that. I'm suddenly hung up on whether they did it or not. But either way.
They will if they haven't.
Yeah, right. They will. With what they paid for him, it's just assumed that eventually they're going to pay him $17 million a year
now they are,
to place safety.
Now they are pot committed, so they have no choice.
Yeah, right. But even that player at that position, and I almost want to put position in finger quotes because his versatility, his value lies in the fact that he's, you know, purported to be much more than just a safety. He can line up and play like a linebacker. He can rush like an edge guy. He can play the deep middle. He can do it all. Maybe he's not great at deep middle, but nonetheless, you get the point. He's kind of like a Swiss Army knife, and you feel like you should pay for that. But somebody who's just a great two down traditional middle linebacker, I think they're already being viewed like running backs. I could be wrong about that. There's probably more than the C.J. Mosley exception out there, but I think we're headed that way.
Well, it's really interesting. There's so many things about that come to mind. One is the draft. One thing I said at one point about the Bills drafting Zach Moss this year was, and this, if it's not obvious, is a compliment to them. I always want to make sure everybody knows, is that they are so solid at a lot of positions. So, yeah, all right, well, we'll spend a third-round pick on a running back. We'll do that 2 years in a row. I mean, we can afford to do that. And I don't know, at least, that that's how they would look at that. But you can build to a point where you're like, you know, we can draft a kicker, which the Bills also did. We can draft another quarterback, which the Bills also did. This Bills draft smelled like that a little bit. Two receivers, you know. And look, don't take this too seriously. It's like, well, we can just do that. We can, you know, we got nothing. We don't need anything else, so we can do this. Now, I don't mean that literally, but that's one thing that comes out of this is like, so if I don't want to draft running backs anymore, that's what you tell me. I don't want to draft linebackers anymore. You told me that. I don't want to draft, I don't know, a few other positions. Guards has been a thing for a long time. I don't want to draft guards. Of course, I don't want to draft special teams. What do I have to do? I just want to spend all my picks on corners and tackles? Like, what do I, wide receivers?
Like, edge guys.
What do I want to do here? Here's another aspect of this. So, one thing about the Bills, and I've made this point a lot. I mean, I live in a world where what's most interesting to me is trying to predict how teams do and how players do. And for this Bills team, one thing that is always on my mind about them is how lucky they have been with injuries. They have just not had bad injuries for a couple years, at least relatively. So it has been a factor in how they, like what last year was. You had, you know, Allen and Brown and Beasley, and they all just played them all, and your offensive line, like you just did not have Jerry Hughes. You did not have these problems. White, of course. These guys, you know, like everybody just stayed on the field.
Yeah, right.
Everybody was always on the field, which is pretty rare for the NFL. So, okay, on one hand, here's this. this year. This year starts, and you lose these two guys in the first game. And so it's easy to sort of remember that and go, okay, well, it was going to happen. You know, this it doesn't have to be the beginning of anything. It could be the whole thing, but you have this, you know, challenge now. But if you're also telling me that it doesn't matter to what people would predict happens in this game, then so what? What injuries count then? Is it just quarterback? Is it just injuries that would move the line? Or else I'm just, you know, the same team?
I don't know. I'd love to know, like, does the line – maybe the line just reflects – in this case, it's like I'm saying, I think the Bills are better, and even without these two key guys on defense at linebacker, they should be able to still beat this team by 5.5 points or more because of their advantage at quarterback, their advantage at receiver, whatever advantage is there, right? They're just better coaching, who knows. If they're playing the Chiefs this week and I don't have Edmonds and Milano, or I'm playing the Ravens and I don't have Edmonds or Milano, does the line not move at all? Like, I wonder, like a more potent team, especially a more potent offensive team lining up to play the Bills on Sunday, and you find out on Friday morning that they're not going to have two of their most important defensive players, maybe it's different. Maybe that does nudge it because I need everything I can muster to even stay in a game with these guys, and if I'm missing my two best athletic linebackers, then I might be in real trouble with Travis Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and whatever, you know. Just the personnel on the other team might nudge the line, whereas you're playing the Dolphins and it's like, I'm not really that worried about Matt Breida.
Yeah, that's a good point. Remember Keith Ellison?
Yes.
So you and I, at least this is how I remember it, remembering it right now, actually, like, the Bills had this linebacker, Keith Ellison, who was kind of small, right? Like, not excellent in any particular way, it seemed. And he was, like, on the team for years and always played. And I'm sure, like, there must have been a bunch of times when you or I were like, when are they going to do – what are they going to address that? Right? And probably people called in and it was hot. Like, yeah, what's going on with this Keith Ellison? Who's he? How about you get somebody good?
Yeah.
And this is like, there's so many, I love when this happens. It happens a lot. And I live for it when you're like, oh my God, did I really used to think that? I mean, you don't know that you were wrong in all these cases, but you know, quintessentially in this context, it's like being excited about the McGahee pick. Like, this is the best idea yet. Let's draft a running back who's hurt.
Right. So let's draft a one-legged running back
on a mediocre team. Right. On a team that just went like 6-10, let's draft a running back who will miss a year. That's beautiful. How come all the teams aren't doing that? Like, when that happened, I thought that was great. Like, oh,
it's so hilarious.
Did you not watch him play? Right, that's the line, right, isn't it? Didn't you watch him play?
He's great.
Oh, you got to see him.
Tom Donahoe saw him when Miami played at Syracuse, and he was blown away.
Game changer.
Okay.
You know, it turns out like a bowling ball could have run through the Syracuse defense on that, playing for that Miami team and not been touched for 10 yards. All right. No Milano, no Edmonds. You probably think it matters. Maybe it does. Coming up next, Brian Koziol will talk U.S. Open and Blue Jays with Brian. And we don't have Evan Abrams today. Evan would be great to talk about this last topic with, but he's unavailable. We will have Sal Capaccio with us, and we'll definitely get into it with Sal. Of course, the linebackers are a big story, in Bill's coverage, and we'll do that 5-6 on our Friday roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, M&T Bills Fan Friday, here on WGR. Sal Capaccio and the Roundtable later in the afternoon. Talk some fantasy, some betting, like we do on Fridays. The picks. Are the picks betting? What department are the picks in?
It's recreational. I don't know. Yeah, there's no. It used to be betting because we had a stake. Like, you know, we had to. There was something at the end of the year that the loser had to do. But we haven't done that in many years now. So I don't know. I don't think technically it's really gambling.
No. I'll tell you what the stake should be. A stake.
Yeah.
Let's play for that.
Okay.
Steak dinner, no holds barred. No, you know, guilt. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. And the wives. No kids, though. Those two guys, I mean, I'm not buying steaks for those two guys. Dude, like, those guys
clean you out.
I know. I mean, that's the line.
Like, they're both bigger than me, for God's sake.
I've heard. Brian Koziol with us now on the Western Hotline. Hello, Brian.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Brian, we're going to talk some golf here and probably a little baseball, but do you find, were you listening earlier?
Today or?
Yeah, today.
Yes, just to the first 5 minutes of the show.
Okay, so you didn't get this part, but Do you find it interesting that pretty much any defensive player in the NFL can miss a game and the betting line doesn't move? Here you have Milano and Edmonds going to miss the game for the Bills, and at least so far, nothing. Like, is that interesting to you?
I think it shows that maybe whatever the drop-off is to whoever's filling in seems to be so less of a drop than maybe what it would be from the offensive side of the ball, I guess. I mean, who on the offensive side of the ball? If John Brown is out this week, I don't know if that's a fair comparison. I think Edmonds and Milano, I would argue, are more important to the Bills than John Brown is, but if he's out this week, I know he missed Wednesday, he's back now, but does that mean the line moves? I mean, is it only the QB? Is that kind of where you're going with this?
I don't think it's running backs.
No. Yeah, I think it's, unless it's the QB, maybe it doesn't matter. But if you said to me, rank the top five Bills on the Bills.
Right.
I'm probably putting both Edmonds and Milano. I mean, definitely Edmonds, and I'm thinking about Milano, definitely.
Right.
So
all right.
It is strange. You said you're going to remove two of the best players from somebody's starting lineup. You would think that the line should move in some capacity, but
I like it because it isn't really a point about gambling. It isn't at all a point about betting or gambling. It's just like the line reflects opinion about the outcome of the game. And you're going to take defensive stars off the field and it's not going to do anything. Like, well, what do we have? All right. So the U.S. Open here, we've got it on here in the Duntire Studios, Brian. And it looks like a much different day than yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is playing much different. It's almost a five-stroke difference so far. Now, there's a lot more golf coming up, but yesterday it's playing about 2.5 strokes over par, where yesterday the average was about 2.5 under par. In terms of the comparison to about 5 strokes difference overall, I guess I would say, from its perspective to par. So it's definitely playing harder. The wind seems to be maybe just a little bit more of a factor. I also wanted to follow up with you yesterday when you mentioned about daylight. I did read one thing that the USGA said, is that they wanted on day one to pick what they deemed to be they would view as less challenging or easier pin placements because they were concerned about the length of the round. They didn't want to have six-hour rounds. So I don't know if that was maybe a little coupling point into maybe some of the better scoring we saw yesterday. There were a couple of groups that did not finish. I want to say maybe there were two or three groups left that they technically suspended play and they picked it up. Now, it didn't really make that big of a deal because when you're last in round one, you're first out in round two. So these guys just essentially just, you know, they finished their last hole and then they went right to the first tee and started up. So it's not like it threw off most people's days. But I'm wondering today if they realized, hey, the scores were a little better than we thought. Let's toughen it up. And it's definitely playing that way.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I had this on yesterday and was watching it in much the same way I've been watching it today, and I don't remember thinking much about the wind at all yesterday. And today, it has been very noticeable. Just like guys' shirts just billowing in the wind. I mean, it looks pretty blustery out there.
Yeah, and when you're playing on these greens where you miss it is extremely important, these locations in terms of – because these are more sloped greens than maybe – we've seen on kind of an average tour event. So ball placement is so important. So if the wind is even going to change direction by a couple of yards and where it lands on the green can be the difference between maybe you getting a putt that you'd want versus a putt that you'd view to be impossible and now a guy's three-putting instead. So I think you're right. I mean, just as I'm watching right now, these guys' shirts are definitely flapping. So it's going to be a factor today. Maybe another day that the rough has grown out, that it's a little more penalizing than what it was on day one. So I think all these conditions, I think this is what the USGA wants. I think they wanted to play hard. I think if someone shoots par or even one under a 200, well, then they should have a chance to win. And that's kind of what you're getting today.
More fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, I think as long as it's fair and we haven't heard any complaints about a player saying that a good shot isn't rewarded, I think that I'm on board with that message too. There had been times in the past where the U.S. Open had been set up where I thought it was kind of ridiculous, where a guy would hit what you deem to be like, okay, that's a perfect shot, and it would still roll off the green or something like that. But I think they've learned their lesson. Yeah. At least I hope they do. To the point where you're not getting those sort of situations anymore. I realize sometimes Mother Nature may play into that, but I mean the weather looks absolutely perfect and. Other than the wind making it tough, but in terms of how they've set up the course, I haven't heard one player complain about something being unfair, which I guess is all you can ask for. It can be if it's hard for everybody, that's fine. And if they deem it to be fair, well, then you've got a good, hard U.S. Open. And we've seen a ton of tournaments. I mean, look at Dustin Johnson, a couple of weeks ago, finished minus 30. So I think for some people, they like to see these. And with the scores coming down today, I mean, there's only six players under par at the moment. And, you know, you figure, okay, maybe half of them tomorrow shoot under par. Well, now you're dwindling it down. Maybe this is going to be a round where they want it. The USGA has always said if even par at the end gives us the winner, then it's perfectly what they're looking for.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try a little memory exercise here. You were probably there, at least a part of my memory is that you were there. Was it Shinnecock where, like, on Sunday they had to, like, water one green, I want to say it was seven, like, in between groups because it had gotten so dried out, they prepared it to be so tough that you just could not land a ball on that green almost no matter what you did.
That happened.
Yeah, perfect memory, Bulldog. It was a par three. It was the seventh hole, and it was Shinnecock, and they were hosing the green in between groups coming through because the ball would not hold no matter where you hit it on it. So they don't want that sort of debacle to happen again, and I think they're doing a pretty good job this week. This course, from what I remember when I was there in 06, just has a kind of an old-school classic look to it. You'll notice the trees are even more, a little bit more in play than normal. There's a lot of more kind of hanging branches up high that can come into play at times where guys get blocked out. And that is obviously something, too, that we see on tour this year where guys are just launching it over them all the time as if like they're not even there. I think where they've set up tee boxes and set up pins this week, the trees are becoming even a little bit more of kind of in play. So if you're not exactly where you need to be, you're going to get penalized for it. And I think that's all – these tournaments, you know, for this setup, you would want. Look, if you hit a good shot, you should be rewarded. But if you hit a bad shot, you're going to pay for it. And right now, that's kind of, I think, exactly the setup they have going today.
Quickly, Brian, DeChambeau is in the clubhouse at minus three. These guys announcing have been predicting for a couple of hours that that's going to look pretty good at the end of the day. Nick Faldo said he bets that's the lead. And here was Justin Thomas and Reed and these, you know, elite players who were above that, and now they're already below it. You didn't pick DeChambeau, right? You didn't like the fit?
Yeah, I thought he had said, I listened to his press conference on Tuesday, he had said that he doesn't care how long the rough is. He said that his proximity to the hole statistics will still say that you'll score better than hanging back. Now, Gary Woodland, mm-hmm. who won the U.S. Open, said he thinks hitting a 4-iron into these greens from the fairway is still better than hitting a 7-iron from the rough. And they actually, when asked DeChambeau about that, he said no. He goes, I don't care what kind of rough I'm in. He said, I'd rather be 60 yards from the hole in the rough than 160 out in the fairway. So he's taking the exact opposite approach. He says, look, at the number one scoring stat on tour is proximity to the hole. So he goes, I'm going to try to be as close as I possibly can. And he goes, obviously I want to be in the fairway, but if I'm in the rough, if I'm the closest to the hole, he says, I still like my chances because the numbers tell me so.
I'm back to liking him.
And I'm back to not liking him because I didn't pick him on my pick 10.
Now I can root for him in peace this weekend.
Right.
All right. The Blue Jays are in Philadelphia for two today, the first of which starts at 4:05. How good do the Jays look in the playoff picture?
I think they're fine for the playoffs. I think the conversation that we had a week ago about them hosting a first-round playoff series at Salem Field looks pretty bleak.
Yep.
And that series with the Yankees, I mean, I don't know statistically where that ranks in Blue Jays franchise history, but I can't imagine that you could find one worse in terms of at least what they gave up. I mean, they gave up double digits in three games, 20, 13, and 10. I mean, 43 runs in a three-game series, 19 home runs in a three-game series is a Major League Baseball record. The Yankees themselves had a team record for 5 home runs in an inning last night. 3 of them were on consecutive pitches. So I don't have the Blue Jays stats back to when they started, but how could you possibly have a worse three-game series? And they came in with a half-game lead, and now they're 2.5 out, and it doesn't look like catching the Yankees right now feels that way. However, they have a chance. They still have a 4-game set at home next week in Buffalo, so that still might be there. For them to have any chance to have a home series, they've got to catch the Yankees first and then go after Minnesota, who right now has the best amongst the second-place teams. But to answer your question, they're still 5 up on the first team out right now.
4.5.
Yeah, 4.5. I'm sorry. That's right. Seattle's moved ahead of Baltimore now.
Bulldog, the Jays would be the 8. You know who the 1 is?
I honestly don't. It's not Tampa, is it?
The White Sox.
The White Sox.
Yeah, they're a half game better than Tampa. Yeah.
Right. The White Sox were the first team to clinch. Maybe Tampa clinched also later yesterday, but
they did. Yeah.
If it were over now, it would be 1-8. Chicago White Sox 1, Toronto 8 in the first. It's a best of 3 all in Chicago, right? That's what the first round is for everybody.
Correct. The home team. Site gets, yeah, it's a best of 3 in the I guess you'd call it the quarterfinals, I guess. Now there's not, first round, and then the American League, what you normally call the divisional round series, or the, I guess you'd call them the semis now, because there's added rounds, they now would be shifting to a pod. They've got Arlington, Texas. They've got Dodger Stadium. They've got Petco Park in San Diego as kind of the sites that they'll be looking to use for kind of the mini bubbles that they're going to kind of go with.
And the whole World Series will be in Texas.
That's correct, yes.
New stadium. Because they were due for one.
Oh yeah, I mean that park was only built in like 1998.
Time to replace it.
So you needed to come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right.
When we've had these discussions about Major League Baseball coming to Buffalo and how cool it is, and yes, we know why no fans could be there. Inevitably, at some point, everybody always said, "Oh, how cool it would be if Buffalo had a Major League team," and I truly believe that there would be fans in the seats better than a few franchises that have teams. The Marlins would be easy to outdraw. The Bisons outdraw the Marlins usually, mm-hmm. you know. So
the Rays.
I don't think that actually bodies in the seats that Buffalo would be like the worst major league team. I don't think that would be the case. But when I see what these stadium things are doing, like the Braves, they just replaced Turner Field a few years ago with SunTrust Park, and Texas, as you just mentioned here, and I'm thinking of how, you know, this process of the Bills Stadium and how that's been going. And I'm not comparing a football stadium to a baseball complex, but it's still the same idea that just dropping billions every 20 years to just make a stadium, like, that's probably not what Buffalo could do. So maybe it's best.
Good for us. What a waste.
Maybe it's best that we have one of the coolest AAA minor league atmospheres and ballparks in the country. And you just, you know, you'd be happy you got that. It would be great to have the Yankees here against the Buffalo team, and I think it would be cool. But at some point, I just don't know about the financial side if it really is possible. Even if you did put 15 or 20,000 there every single night, I just don't think it can happen.
Good luck this weekend. Bulldog and I will be rooting against you.
That's what I expected.
What time? Specialty to Green tomorrow is for what, 11 to noon, did I see, or 10 to 11?
10 to 11. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, we're going to do a special show because it's U.S. Open week right in front of Nate with Sports Talk Saturday. So we're 10 to 11, and then Nate comes on at 11.
Very good. Thank you, Brian.
Okay, all thanks, right. Guys. Have a great
day.
We
did get a Blue Jays update in there with Brian, and that's brought to you by Taco Bell, the Taco Burrito Cravings Pack. Mm. Get it for the friends that get it only at Taco Bell.
I want it. Should we have those in here? Shouldn't we have those in here today?
Do you get it? You can only get it if you get it.
I think I get it. It's tacos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would want it.
Well, already you're wrong because it was a burrito pack.
But whatever.
Joe?
There's no one in the world who likes tacos and not burritos. Or vice versa. We're fine here. Don't ruin it for us. We might get a delivery. Can you get in, Joe? Can people get in? I don't think so, right? You can't get in here. Hold on.
What am I going to do? What about me?
Yeah, I don't know. Uber Eats. All right, let's take a break. We will have Sal here 5 to 6. We'll talk mostly Bills Dolphins between now and then, and lines are open, 803-0550. What do you think about how the injuries to Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds might affect this game, and why isn't the betting line ever interested in injuries like this? Back after this here on WGR.
I mean, it's all led by Josh and what he's able to do. So he's an intelligent young man that loves to compete. And, you know, when you look at some of the skills that Brandon's put together on the offensive side, it gives us game plan options more than anything. So we're able to identify and have a pretty good feel for what this week or any week's opponent on their defensive side, what they do and do well and what they struggle with. So, you know, we're going to try and every week come up with the best plan to put our players in position to be successful there.
Sean McDermott on WGR this morning. We've got a short bit of time here, and then next hour we'll really get into Bills, Dolphins, and NFL Week 2. Around the league, there are lots more injury updates today. Galladay out for Detroit. That's official. Lindsey out for Denver. Chris Godwin was interesting today. Godwin was in the concussion protocol as of Wednesday, and that was not expected or known. And when that happens, the guy played. He took a bad hit late in that game. There was no penalty, I want to say, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he finished the game and then went into protocol on Wednesday. And when that happens, like you expect the guy to be out because it's considered. I don't want to sound like I know from experience. It's considered tough to clear the hurdles by Sunday when you enter on Wednesday. But he was at practice today. And Bruce Arians is, you know, he may just be toying with us because that's happened before a lot. But he's giving Godwin some chance of playing. And Evans is good to go, apparently, for Tampa.
Tampa Bay.
You prefer Tampa, right?
They all got to get on the same page there. Yeah, well, Tampa or Gronka. I don't know. I mean, you do what you think is right.
I will. I went Stafford over Burrow.
Yeah, I saw.
Because of Mixon.
Yeah. Right.
I struck out. Burrow was the one.
Yeah, Burrow was a stud yesterday. He was fun to watch. He took some hits, man. But man, that was a good night. That was a good night. Mayfield looked really good. Beckham got off with that one long catch, and It was an entertaining game.
61 throws for Burrow.
Yeah.
61. A lot of them were super nice. He had one that he completed to T. Higgins, a rookie, where he was rolling right. You remember this play?
Uh-huh.
He's rolling right, and he had to throw it hard, but just high enough to get it over the one defender, and then Higgins was able, he didn't even have to jump, if I remember right. But, you know, they were not far apart. Like, it was really, really smart throw.
Yeah.
So
it was very impressive, I would say. Like, you know, I don't know how Browns fans are feeling after that. I mean, probably better, obviously, because they won the game and their offense looked, you know, really good. To me, Burrow was the story of the game, even though they lost. Like, it's his second game, and he just looks, you know, shot after shot he was taking. He never really looked like he was off. You know what I mean? He just sort of kept going, just kept throwing it. It was very impressive.
Too many Browns, not anymore. Joe's line today in here is not enough Browns. After dealing with hearing all the time how he had too many Browns, Joe knows it. He agrees, but you know, scoreboard.
You're gonna win some big, and you're gonna lose some big. This is how it goes. They're gonna have to have a good matchup, and they're gonna have to all play well. That's how you lose, though. If what happens next time they play Baltimore? Do I have to sit them all? I don't know.
I drew the short straw. I think you love to trade. Maybe this is your week for trading because of what happened last night. Selling high might be the right time. All right, the Bills and Miami on Sunday. Who's going to Miami? Raise your hand if you're going to this game. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with open lines. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.